If you'll open with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I'm very thankful for what our brother Tim shared last night. I appreciate his willingness to share. I was thinking this morning, I guess if I'm a pink Cadillac, then brother, you're a Ford Pinto. That's not right. No. Do you know what a Ford Pinto is?
I think my dad had one.
Okay, I had one too. I wasn't a very cool teenager. But I thank God for our brother Tim and our brother Stefan and those who share the Word of God and are growing in the Lord and hear the call to the ministry in any aspect. Thank God for that. We need folks to hear the call to give the word, right? And to share. Well, we've been looking at Ephesians 5, and we talked a bit first about the... let me begin here. I'm just always amazed with Ephesians because the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was able to speak and communicate through the Holy Ghost to a diverse group of Gentiles and Jews, and what God did was amazing. We take it kind of for granted, but that he brought the Jews and Gentiles together in Christ Jesus. And they blended to form a church. And of course, in Ephesians, he's communicating about how this God has done this to make them one in Christ Jesus. But of course, he had to give them some practical instructions, and that's kind of what we're looking at here, you know, to walk in love. But it wasn't just a love and a unity. It was a love that was pure. It was a call to holiness. It was a love that wasn't selfish. And we talked about that list he gave there of all those items that were just self-gratifying. And he said, that's not love. That stinks to God. But we ought to love as Christ loved, who gave himself, who was generous in giving himself, and also in sacrifice, a sweet-smelling aroma to God. And elsewhere in the Bible, we're told to be the same thing to the Lord. And I'm thankful, again, just to Walter Carew, who was the essence of Christ to John. And that's awesome. Right. And there's so many stories, I'm sure, in this room like that. And thank God for that. But now he's going to talk to us about walking in light. And that's found in Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. Allow me to read them to us. I'm reading from the New King James Version. As I mentioned to you, at home I like to put it up on the PowerPoint so we can read it in unison. But today we have different versions and it's difficult, so I'll just read to you, okay? This is how it begins there in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, and this is a quote they believe from Isaiah 60, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? Light. Father, thank you for this exhortation from your word. We thank you, Lord God, for your call for us to be light and children of light. We pray as we examine this portion of your word that, Lord, we'll shine brighter in this dark world for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever experienced total darkness? Probably all of us at one time or another, right? Have done that when all of a sudden maybe during a storm or something the lights go out. It's kind of exciting at first, You know, I was speaking with a brother and sister about Sandy, and when we had these storms, and it's kind of exciting. All of a sudden, now you know the lights are out, but then all of a sudden, when you can't remember where you left the flashlights, it gets a little hard, right? I want to tell you about a time when I was a staff member. A couple of us guys, we had heard about graphite mines on Hague Mountain. They said, yeah, you could go up there. All of Hague Mountain in the late 1800s and early 1900s, there was a graphite mine where that whole mountain was, they raised it bare of woods, and they were mining there. I love history, so I said, we got to check this out. So we went one time and with some flashlights, but you couldn't see much, and there were some holes that you had to crawl into. But we said, next time we go, one of the fellows had an idea, and he had one of the, he said, I have a lantern. What are those lanterns called, you know, with the elements that glow? Those things, propane lantern, you know? And he said, we'll really light that place up. So I said, let's go. So there were like five of us. And we went, and he brought that lantern. And folks, it was one of those times of discovery. It was awesome. We went down, I think there were three layers, and we went down, and the lantern lit the place up to where we found a graphite cart. We found some tracks that just went right. You know, you almost didn't know there was water there because it was so crystal clear. And the tracks just went right down to a flooded level. I remember finding a Goodyear boot, found an old pipe down there, which we donated to the Harkon Museum. You can go there now, and it doesn't have a plaque with my name on it. You know, it might say Pink Cadillac. I don't know. But we were amazed by that. Now, you can't go there now. They barred everything up, so don't even try. But I never forget the five of us exploring this whole underworld till all of a sudden the fellow with the lantern tripped. And you know, if you know anything about propane lanterns, they have those elements, but they're very fragile. And I'm telling you, the lights went out. And it was dark. It was dark. Do you get a... do you know what I mean? Dark. And then somebody said, who's got the flashlight? And then I asked, in a very high-pitched voice, who's got the flashlight? No one else thought of bringing some other flashlights, except for a pen light thing, a very small light someone had, and we thanked God for that. Just a small, and you know, we did something that we adolescent guys never, ever, ever would do. We held on to each other's waist. You know, like this. Everybody form a line. And now I know you're all on the edge of your seat. Did they get out? Did they get out? I know you're all thinking that. Did they make it? Yes, we did. We got out. But I bring that before you because there was total darkness, but it's interesting how one little light was enough to save us. And sometimes we cry a lot about the dark days we live in. I know sometimes I find, you know, I can't believe, you know, the old, maybe some of the young people feel, well, he's getting older, so he's starting to talk about the good old days. I'm convinced the good old days actually were good compared to what's happening. And sometimes we do talk a lot about the darkness, the politics, what's happening in America, you know, and our society. And God wants you to remember that it just takes a little light to make a difference. And the enemy wants us to get all caught up in how dark things are getting when we have a light. And it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be ultra bright. You just have to turn it on to make a difference in your home, to make a difference in your school or your work, Just one little light of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Now, it's accredited to many people. I like to accredit it to John Wesley. I named my son John Wesley because I like that the Methodist pastor so much. But I think it's been accredited to other people. Why curse the darkness when you can light a candle? Isn't that a great phrase? And we have a candle. We have the Holy Spirit. And Paul, he begins to say, you were once darkness. You were once darkness. It's good sometimes to remember how blind we were, what darkness we lived in. It's good to just say, there was this time when I didn't see things right. And God brought light into my life. And he calls them children of light. And I think that's a precious name. That's what we are. We're children of light. And remember that. You're a child of light. You know, when I was looking at this, I thought of fireflies. Do you know what they are? Or lightning bugs. Remember? I love lightning bugs. I did a bad thing as a child. I tried to gather their lights, put it in a jar. Yeah, that's nasty. Don't do that. But I thought about lightning bugs. Kids are fascinated by lightning bugs. I think adults are too. I hope you are. You know, you go out at night in the summer and here are these amazing, fascinating bugs that don't bite you like mosquitoes. All they do is they glow, they light. Do you all know what I'm talking about? What amazed me, I said to someone, and they weren't so amazed, but I was, is that God made those beautiful little bugs that can glow, and you can catch them. God bless you who are amazed with me. Because I think that's amazing. You know, try to catch a butterfly. They're beautiful. You can't catch them, right? I know what you're all thinking. He really did get up too early. But I think that's awesome. You know, here, one time I went to a concert called Creation in mid, I think it's somewhere in Pennsylvania. And you stay there until nighttime. And I think it was my son or someone. We had to walk to get to the porta potties, you know. So, and there must have been thousands of these lightning bugs or fireflies, whatever you want to call them, and they were all in this tree. I'm telling you, it was phenomenal to see, just thousands of them. And you know what I want to bring out about these fireflies is that, as I mentioned, they're catchable. And that's what God wants for us. We ought to be catchable in this world. That people see our light. And you know, and say, I want what you have. But sometimes we're not so catchable, you know. And the Apostle Paul says, look, just be a child of light. Be that simple. You know, you don't have to study to be an evangelist or study to be a preacher. You just have to let the light shine. And people will catch it. They'll want what you have. If Christ is in you, we talked about in the beginning about walking in love and having the essence of Christ. Well, people will want to catch you like they want to catch those fireflies if you have the light of the gospel in you. Billy Graham talked about darkness a little bit, though. And I thought this was such a good quote. The most devastating effect of sin is that by it, we are blinded to it. Isn't that true? The most devastating effect of sin is that by it, we are blinded to it. You don't always see it. I'm thankful for altar calls. Because in my life, two amazing things happen at an altar call. God often reveals something in your life that you didn't see, that you didn't realize. And the second thing is he brings a grace that frees us from that. That's how we change. And that's the light of the gospel in our hearts. We're quoting and thinking of Brother Hans Waffogel. I don't call him uncle because there's so many other Waffogels that can call him uncle. But I never knew that man. I came in to know the Lord in 1968, and he died in 1969. But I heard so much about him. I would have loved to have met him. When I have read about him and heard about him from Brother Gardner's and others. So I don't mind quoting him. This is what he said. Listen to this. Our minds are too finite to grasp it. But little by little, the light is dawning. Do you know that this light is going to light up the whole world, the light of Jesus Christ? This light is going to overcome darkness and put the devil where he belongs. I love that quote. You know why? Because I meet so many good Christians who have more faith for it to get dark than for it to get light. Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to get into it, but sometimes their eschatology goes that way, you know? And they just have more faith about it getting dark. You know, my faith is, Lord, your light's going to shine. Jesus Christ, you're going forth, as it says in Revelation, to conquer and to conquer. And we ought to believe that. Now, the Apostle Paul knew a lot about darkness. He knew a lot about, not the darkness in the world, but he knew a lot about how dark a person can be and how God can convey us from darkness to light. I just want to remind you a little bit. In Philippians 3, 5 through 6, listen to what he mentions about himself. He brings out in Philippians 3 three things about himself, about the law, zeal, and righteousness. Listen to what he says. He said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. He knew everything about the law. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church because the church was going in the opposite direction of the law. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. The Apostle Paul, he wasn't just in the dark. He was all about the dark. It goes on, though, from Acts 8:3. Listen to what happened here. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Can you imagine just a little bit of what kind of man Paul was? And dragging people out of their homes, throwing them into prison for being a Christian. He says, go down to Acts 22, 4 through 5. I persecuted this way to the death, he said, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. When you read this, the Apostle Paul, he knew something about being in the dark, about having no understanding of the gospel or of Christ. Think about the conscience of this man, how he went in and dragged people to prison, even to the death, he said. He said he raised havoc in the church. That's where the Apostle Paul was. He was blinded socially, he was blinded politically, he was blinded spiritually. But then one day, Jesus Christ got a hold of him. The light shined. How could that happen with somebody so in the dark? And active in the dark, working in the dark, promoting the dark, going against the light of the gospel with all that's within him, one day, in a quiet place, he met the Master face to face. A lot of preachers say he fell off his horse, but we don't know that. Well, Jesus got a hold of him, and he shares his testimony a few times. Let me just read a portion of it that he gave in Jerusalem from Acts 22. Then a certain Ananias, Paul explains, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him, And then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And Saul, his name changed to Paul. This person who was so dark was conveyed into light. Has that happened to you? It happened to me, and I grew up in church. But the day came when God conveyed me from darkness, from my thinking, from transforming my mind, as it says in Romans 12. God has got to do that for each and every one of us. There's a man in the chapel named Dave Winter. He's a longshoreman. He's a big guy. I'm always threatening him because I have a Napoleon complex. You know, and I like to tease him because he's big. He's got shoulders like this. He works on the docks. He works with a tough crew. Talk about darkness. The longshoremen are tough. But, you know, his testimony is tremendous. Give me a moment to share it with you because it fits what we're talking about today. Dave was a rough, tough longshoreman with a mouth on him. You know, he even made the worst expletive sound bad, which is already bad. And he tells about how this fella, a fella longshoreman, got saved, gave his heart to the Lord, was conveyed from darkness into light. And this fella worked with Dave. And one day this fella's sitting in his car, and they're waiting to do a job or something or other. And he sees Dave fighting and arguing and having a swear fest with another worker. And Dave is very adamant, too, you know. He was going at it. And the Holy Spirit speaks to this fellow who got saved and said, the Holy Spirit says to him, go and witness to Dave. When, Lord? Now. We're always trying to tell God when a good time is, you know, because God is creator of the world. He's almighty. He's all powerful. He's all of that, but he doesn't always have good timing. And so he's like, well, he explains to God, Lord, let me roll down the window. Listen to this guy. He's in anger. He's mad. He's throwing expletives like bombs all over the place. I'll wait for him to calm down. And the Holy Spirit said, no, go now. It's an amazing story about how just a little light can dispel darkness. If we obey. If we just obey. But, you know, we know better than God. You know, let's be practical. Let's not get too spiritual, God. You know, Lord, you can do the supernatural, but it doesn't always happen. Well, he kept feeling the unction of the Holy Spirit, and he got out of his car, and he walked up to this storm of a man. And Dave Winter tells how he came up to him and got a few words and said, Dave, do you know Jesus? Now, come on, folks. Huh? What? Right. Huh? I'm not saying that this always works. I don't want you coming back or emailing me and say, hey, you know, I did that and I got punched out. Right? But you got to obey the Holy Spirit. You have to obey the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Dave couldn't believe what he said. And his heart melted at that moment. Now, I'm not saying he knelt down right there. It took a process and a work. But what I'm saying, that small little pen shone a light into a dark heart. And Christ began to grow in this man. And I love him. I love him. You know why? Because he's big and all, and I could threaten him. And he's like he wouldn't dare hurt me. Not like Anthony over there. I like to threaten big guys because I can run really fast. But you know, listen, Just a little light, folks. Sometimes the enemy just makes it look so dark and so impossible, and he tries to say, well, you just don't have enough faith. Have you ever felt that way? When you're witnessing to someone, when do we ever need to measure our faith? The disciples came to Jesus and said, increase our faith. It's right there in the gospel. Didn't they say that? And Jesus went in the opposite direction. They said, we want you to increase our faith. He said, oh, okay. Well, if you have enough faith, and he shrunk it down to just a little mustard seed. You see, it's not about measuring your faith. It's about obeying your faith and saying, yes, Lord. God, you are the author and finisher of my faith, not me, And so that fellow went forth. All right. Well, let's talk about when the lights come on. And the Apostle Paul, he instructs them, now that you're children of light and the lights come on in your life, well, I put it this way, 3 D's I put it, or 3 processes that begin to happen. And the Apostle Paul wanted this to happen in the children of light from Ephesus. So I put discovery, discard, and displaying. To just break up this last portion here. And discovery. Look at what he says in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. When God begins to shine in our lives, there comes this fruit, or this it produces in us goodness, righteousness, and truth. But it's a process, and we're to find out. We're discovering what's acceptable to God, what works. In Philippians 1:9-11, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and all the discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. I remember when my mother got saved. She began to. It was a process of discovering what works, what righteousness God can work in and through us. We have a saying here, light begets light. The more you endeavor to live in the light, the brighter that light gets. And in this dark world, God will lead us into light if our hearts desire to be in that light. The second port I have, the second D rather, is discard. Listen to what he says in verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful, the fruit that doesn't produce, the works of darkness, but rather expose them, bring them into the light. We need to do this as well. When we come into the light of the Holy Spirit, there are things that you need to discard. You say, that doesn't work anymore. That's not producing any fruit in me. Maybe it's a set of friends that you have. That you don't, you want to be a light to them, but it's not producing light. It's unfruitful. Sometimes you have to discard that and say, no, that's not going to work. It's not benefiting me. God will show you what produces fruit, what works in our lives. Just recently, we have a new church building now, and the electrician thought it would be so good to put in these lights that you could just speak to, you could say, echo, turn on the lights. It's a modern church, folks. Except it don't work. And this first Sunday, I was wanting to impress everybody with this, and we had a film, so I was like, echo, lights off. Echo. They were all wondering, who in the world is Echo? And why isn't he helping the pastor out? So I moved over to a corner where the device is, the dot, and I said, Echo, lights off. And I hear people muttering, somebody shut the lights off. Help them out there, shut them off. Finally, I got Echo to turn the lights off. Afterwards, someone very bright came up to me and said, listen, They got this new thing. I had had enough about new things. They said, no, this really works. It's a box on the wall, and there's a little switch, and you just, it's amazing. You just touch that, you push that switch down, and the lights go off. You switch it up, the lights go on. Well, you got to go with what works. Discard what doesn't work. So no offense to the electrician, but, you know, you got to go with what works. And God is telling us here, you know, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And Brother Tim brought that out last night. There's times when you just got to say, this isn't working. This isn't it. This isn't what God wants in my life. The last one is displaying. Listen to what he writes here in 13. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. In another translation, the NIV, it says, light makes everything visible. Everything visible. You know, so that you can see. I was talking with our brother Woody, and we were talking about this interesting thing that happens at different places. And for me, it was at visiting the Grand Canyon. You know, there's a by the canyon, but there's a mountain where everybody goes at in the morning, and I mean a big group gathers there on this mountain. It looks over the desert and the valley. And they wait for the sun to come up, you know? They wait for that, and it's almost like a spiritual event, kind of. And this, everybody gathers, they have their coffee, and they all wait there in silence. And finally the sun peaks up. And Brother Woody was sharing me where he was at. And then as soon as the sun peaks up, they all start applauding, you know? They clap. The sun is up now. And then they all leave. And Woody and I, we were both sharing how they leave before they get to see all the beauty that the sun reveals. All the landscape and everything that is displayed. You know, they missed the point of the sun rising. And, you know, I thought that's a good illustration for us. Because sometimes, you know, we go through something and the light will come. God will display. He'll bring the light in, and we just say, oh, the light's here. And then we go about doing our business, right? God wants to show us everything's around. In this case, I like what it says, light makes everything visible. You can see clearer and a better path. It's so important that the last admonition here in this section is wake up, which is very apropos for some of you this morning. To wake up. Wake up, because God wants us to know that we are light and salt in this world. And there are people that are hungry and in blindness and darkness. Whether it's the Apostle Paul in his darkness and God got a hold of him, or it's just of recent with Dave Winter, who no one would ever think could ever grasp the gospel. But a little bit of a light, that little bit of obedience, somebody who had the light of Christ in them, shared, and a life is changed and transformed. May God help us all. You know, there's a great song in our camp book, the white book, that I love so much. You know, as a staff member, some of these songs just got into my heart. It's Live Out Thy Life Within Me. Oh, Jesus, King of Kings. And it's number, what is it here? 43, is it? Thank you. Let's stand and sing this. Let's pray this together.
The answer to all my questioning.
life within us, Jesus. Lord, we need you. And there are so many in darkness that need to see the light in us. Oh Lord, we pray, we'll just be children of light, that you might just cause us to shine in a dark world. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for this admonition. Lord, we pray, God, that those that are maybe bound in so many ways, maybe bound in drugs or bound in anger, or bound with these different things, may see how you transformed us, how you conveyed us from lightness, from darkness into light. We pray this. We take your help and your strength today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you that the staff, there's prayer meeting and all are welcome. Also, tonight, I'll be reminding us at the dinner that tonight we're having a fireside meeting at the beach, and that will be at 8 o'clock, okay? I'll be reminding you through the day. 8 o'clock at the beach on Thursday nights, we've been doing that, okay? God bless you.